Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Like, ding, you know, subscribe, download, let's hear it. Ding, you know, subscribe, download, let's hear it.
Subscribe to A Different Strokes Guide to Podcasts.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Okay, Dave, I am a bit of a podcast junkie.
You had like your own podcast show dedicated to your love of podcasts.
It was a podcast. So junkie is a very
light
podcast.
Yeah, junkie is a very light word.
It is. It is. And but the thing is, I used to catch a lot more public transport than I currently do. And so I'm kind of behind in terms of trying to catch up with all of my podcasts now. And I've had to like really get down to like, I'd have to concentrate on one at a time. I can't, you know, bloom out and listen to like five different. I used to work in Box Hill, so yeah. I had to, you know, take, you know, an hour and a half or whatever of public transport every day. And now I don't have to do it because I work, you know, 10 minutes away from my house.
Mm.
So it's hard to kind of keep up with things. But this podcast that I'll be talking about today, Jordan Jesse Go, I came upon because I'm a huge fan of The Sound of Young America. I even interviewed Jesse Thorne for my podcast show about podcasts.
And he's the gentleman that's holding the squirrel.
Yes, on our blog. Yes. Yep. His name is Jesse Thorne. He calls himself America's radio sweetheart. I do actually have an interview with him that I will at one point edit down and play on this show so that you can kind of hear
what he's like
and more about him. He's an incredibly interesting guy. He's just he's a really interesting radio presenter, and yeah, just does really great interviews with he kind of has a habit of in The Sound of Young America of just kind of interviewing. They're mostly comedians, but occasionally he's good at pop culture. He does pop culture really well. So he does like, they're not like the biggest stars. He doesn't go after the biggest stars. So if he does interviews on 30 Rock, I'm sure he would love to interview Tina Fey, but he doesn't interview Tina Fey. He interviews like the guy who plays Kenneth or the guy who plays, what's the producer's name again? God.
What's his name? The bald guy.
Yeah, the bald guy. Oh,
yeah, what's his name?
It's killing me that I can't.
I know, it's killing me too.
Yeah.
Anyone out there know? Oh,
come on, tell us. 0427 Joy 949. Please tell us. It's going to kill me.
That bald guy that is on 30
Pete,
Rock.
Pete.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't SMS. It's cool. Save the 25 cents. Epiphany.
Yeah, so, you know, he'll do those kinds of interviews. But anyway, this podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, is actually Jesse Thorne and Jordan Morris, who is a friend of his who actually works in television, sort of doing, I guess he does like behind the scenes stuff, kind of camera work and everything. But what you may not know is that Jordan Morris was actually originally part of The Sound of Young America. So when they started The Sound of Young America many years ago, they were in university and it was Jesse Thorne, it was Jordan Morris and a guy called Gene. And that was the three of them. And then what happened was both Jordan and Jean moved away from where they were broadcasting from, Santa Cruz, which is sort of lower down California. And
Jesse continued.
And Jesse continued.
This is so much like the story of Sugar Babes.
Well, I'm glad you found a way of relating.
Yeah. So Jordan came back
to
the posse.
So what happened was Jesse then moved to Los Angeles, and that's where Jordan was working in TV.
Oh.
And they decided to do this podcast together, not going back to The Sound of Young Americas, because by then, you know, Jesse had kind of established it as his own thing.
Mm.
And they went with Jordan,
Jesse and Jordan.
Yeah, Jesse and Jordan, Jesse Go instead.
So what about the third wheel guy? Was he ever invited to come back?
No one knows anything about Gene.
Aw.
I'll just tell you a bit about Jordan, Jesse Go. It's a bit more, they call themselves a freewheeling comedy podcast, and that's effectively what it is. It's basically, it's anything from an hour, it's over an hour normally of talking, and that's quite uncommon in podcasting land, right?
It's long.
Yeah, podcasting land, it's like, you'll do 20 minutes, you might do 40 minutes.
Our podcasts are about, just to give you an indication, our podcast goes for about 35 minutes. But, you know, we're a radio show, so we've got music in between normally.
Yeah.
So, but these, like what they do, Jordan, Jesse Go.
He's just talked for an hour and 40 minutes.
Girl, I need to come up for air. How do they do it?
And basically, that's effectively what they do. They sit there and talk for an hour and 40 minutes.
Is there any topic
that goes through? It feels like a random conversation. That's basically the feel that you get from it. They will have guests occasionally come in, so they'll normally have comedians, and it kind of it can get a bit skitty at times. You know, it does feel a lot more like stand-up comedy than if you listen to The Sound of Young America.
So now, it's less structured.
It is. It's a lot less structured. It's a lot less, you know, let me learn a lot about you, which is, you know, kind of what The Sound of Young America is. So when you first listen to it, and if you haven't listened to it, and you've already listened to, I mean, I had this experience when starting to listen to it, I found it a bit like, it's a bit more blokey.
Because
it's kind of this, you know, blokey feel where it's two dudes, you know, kind of making.
They're in their 20s, aren't
they? Yeah, they're in their 20s. So, you know, that kind of young, blokey, jokey type thing. I feel like Jesse is like kind of a lot more serious in The Sound of Young America than he is in. It's kind of like his opportunity to let down his hair and kind of be a bit crazy.
Yeah, just be your average 20-year-old American guy.
Yeah.
To put it in a context for Australian listeners, are they sort of similar to our Andy and Adrian, our Hamish and Andy? Are they like that, or are they just completely different sense of humour?
It's kind of a bit more obscure sense of humour. It's not like
dry sense of humour.
Yeah, it's very dry, and it's very like kind of intellectual. I don't want to put those shows down. But,
it's a different audience.
It's all about highbrow type stuff, you know, like how there's kind of, you know, how there's, if anything, I'm saying highbrow isn't necessarily always the best thing, but it's like, you know how it's sometimes that kind of.
It can alienate people.
It can make you feel a bit like, it's a bit inaccessible at times.
Mm.
But yeah, the hour and 40 minutes is a marathon, that is your
entire train trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus that walk, plus that coffee before you arrive at your desk. They're talking that whole time.
So you've got to really commit to it if you want. So that's why, you know, I obviously don't have much time on public transport. It would take me like 5 or 6 weeks.
That long just to listen to one episode.
Yeah.
But if you do have all the time in the world, yeah, definitely go check out Jordan, Jesse Go.
It has been named on Best of iTunes, by the way.
So, that's pretty impressive.
But, you know, Different Strokes was an iTunes featured artist at one point. So, you know, we've all got our bragging rights.
Yeah, we do. But, you know, you don't see us putting that on our blog. But, yeah, I do look forward to one day hearing the interview you did with Jesse Thorne.
If you want to find out more about Jordan, Jesse Go or The Sound of Young America, it's maximumfun.org is where you can get it.
Okay, so, Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. We just played Washington Cement. Dave, I really find it funny when you decide that you're going to do TV, because you admit to not watching TV. And during the week when we tried to have a conversation about, Dave's going to do a TV segment, it was like, I better go watch some shows.
Yeah, I better go get out the TV on DVD and start doing something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Start, pampering myself in front of the couch. But, yeah, you're right. I don't get time to watch TV, but nowadays I have some free time, and TV on DVD, like we've talked about countlessly, so many occasions on the show, it's so convenient these days. If you don't have that time every week to dedicate to it, but you have one free day in the middle of the week like I do,
you can just churn them out.
Yeah, absolutely. So the show I'm bringing to the table tonight is Cougar Town. You see, I first watched this sometime last year when it first came out.
Yeah.
Before it was screened in Australia, I believe. So, because it's only just been...
It only just recently started.
Yeah, Australia. Like last month sometime. So, for those of you who are following the show, you would be watching season one, because I don't think season two is even made yet. It says on Wikipedia that they have commissioned season two.
Okay, but it has been made.
Yeah, which worries me, because that means that the network is seeing something in this show.
Yeah.
Not to say that I really hate it, but... I don't know. There were moments where I was watching Cougar Town. I just thought, I just want to pull the plug.
Yeah.
I just want to shut this down, because it's not funny and it's painful.
See, I'm watching it live on TV. So, so I'm watching it as it happens on TV. And I'm kind of still, I think I'm watching it out of habit at the moment. It's like, if you learn anything from watching the type of TV that I like, it's that you have to stick it. At it. It's not always the best in the first season.
You've been taught to be loyal.
Yeah, you've been taught to kind of, not that you've been taught to be loyal, but you're taught to be like, okay, well, I'm going to stick at it, because, season one might be kind of funky, but season two, they might hit their straps. And it happens a lot. It happened with the American version of The Office. It happened with 30 Rock. It's happening with Parks and Recreation as we speak. It's one of those things that if you like the kind of TV shows I like, you kind of have to stick with them.
It's just one of those mannerisms and habit you have to pick up.
And I apply that to every show, even the popular ones.
Oh, look at you. Aren't you above it all?
Yes, I am.
But look, Cougar Town has been largely billed as Courtney Cox's return to TV after Dirt was cancelled. Which, brings to my attention all the post-Friends TV shows that have failed or, barely taken off the ground. Like, you look at Lisa Kudrow. I think she's done two TV shows now since Friends. One's called The Comeback.
Yeah.
And I actually watched the entire thing on YouTube, The Comeback, because someone uploaded the episodes there. And I thought, okay, it has its moments of funny, pure brilliance, because it was kind of like a mockumentary thing. So The Comeback was all right. But then she had another show called Web Therapy.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, look, Jade, it's really obscure. It's only got webisodes. So it's not even on TV. It's just every week an
episode.
Very
edgy to go with a webisode.
Also, yeah, I mean, it is very edgy. You're right, but it also says that, hey, no one wants to pick this up on TV, and this is the best I can do. But and what about Joey? Do you remember Joey?
I do remember Joey. I might have watched 5 minutes of Joey the entire run of this show.
You see, look, post-Friends, not normally a good thing.
Well, see, and that had the added pressure of it. It was on straight after Friends finished. Because remember how there was, after Friends finished, there was all of this stuff about, there's, going to be this spin-off and it's just going to be concentrated around Joey. So he had this kind of...
He had the weight of... Friends to bear and carry forth.
Yeah.
He had two seasons of that, but let's face it, it sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
No, but so moral of the story is, Courtney Cox, she's got a lot working against her. All her comrades didn't really make it with their own TV shows. So here she is with Take Two of Cougar Town. Take Two, and it's Cougar Town.
And she had another show called Dirt, right?
Yeah, that was, I think, her first attempt at doing a TV show and all that. And that one got axed, so...
Okay.
For those of you playing at home that don't know what Cougar Town is basically it's an American sitcom based around a recently divorced yummy mummy.
Did you write that?
I wrote that.
Yummy mummy.
Yeah. Okay. That wasn't on the back of the, DVD thing. That wasn't on the TV guide, no. recently divorced yummy mummy who re-enters the dating scene only to find that she's surrounded and daunted with all these hot and available young men. What's a mama to do? So, I mean, there's lots of, you know, it talks about cougars and it obviously pokes fun at the whole cougar culture, older women going for younger men.
Cougars are so hot right now.
Yeah, but to me, I think it's still kind of taboo. Like, are you meant to go, ooh, you're a cougar? Is it meant to be celebrated? Is it meant to be
I think it's starting to be talked about a lot. I feel like they're starting to mention these things, which they hadn't before. It's like one of those, it's a trend.
Yeah.
So it might work out.
It's socially acceptable for older women to go for young men. And it's, I think it's empowering for women anyway.
Yeah.
You know, in a certain way, I think it's empowering. But I think that's why the producer really pushed for Cougar Town, because they thought it would be something that's very now.
Yeah.
Very culturally relevant right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was one of those shows that could be like Weeds, where it's a little taboo, but if you play it well,
mm-hmm.
it could actually be clever TV.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed when I started watching Cougar Town. No, it's not Weeds. Yeah. Not on par with that kind of level of writing.
No.
Because I thought it would do that thing where it's slightly poking fun of cougars, yet making a very intelligent statement subliminally. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for that deeper angle, but so far watching Cougar Town, I can't see that.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that. So maybe that's something that comes out in season two, or her character gets a dramatic makeover. Who knows?
I think it'll be interesting to see how they develop it and whether it sticks.
Yeah, because, I mean, the character that Courtney Cox plays, I think her name's Jules, she's really pretty. Let's face it, she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Cox is, what, 45, and she looks banging.
Yeah.
She looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to warm to a character that's, you know, meant to be recently divorced and is trying to move on with her life when she's spending the whole time fussing about one chin hair or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make the character very endearing.
Do you think that we can't relate to it? Maybe is that what it is? Is it like, is it disjointing to us as younger people to try and understand that? Whereas if we were women in that demographic, we might understand the stuff that she's going through a bit better. And
oh no, I hear a lot of things that the sister's saying on the show, you know, things about her body's not looking like it used to, and she's feeling insecure, and what about sex with the husband, blah blah blah. I feel those things, I hear it, you know, I mean, I get it on a Sex and a City level, but I'm just not feeling her character, you know. There's nothing relatable about it, not at the moment anyway. We're only a couple of episodes in, but who knows, like you say, Jade. But having said that, look, there are some funny moments on Cougar Town. There's that episode where, I don't know if you've seen this yet, you probably have, the episode where she watches her sex tape with her two girlfriends.
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the scene after that's when she takes the trash out in this halter neck dress and heels just to impress her neighbor.
Yeah.
And then her friend's like, sweetie, no one wears boob tape before 10 a.m. You know, just they had some really good lines.
Yeah.
And I think that the supporting actors get the best lines.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, you know, Courtney Cox's character necessarily steals the show.
Now, it was created by the same guy that created Scrubs, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it, you know, that's why I kind of want to stick with it, but that's...
Because you think it will be quality somewhere down the
soon,
line.
Somewhere soon, maybe.
Hopefully soon, yeah. It's just that, look, I think her blonde bimbo assistant, that character, she gets some really good lines.
Yeah, she does. Her friend does get some good lines.
Yeah, the one, the mum, the married lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gets some good lines. You see, I warm to that character, but somehow Courtney Cox's character, you know, feels a bit detached.
Yeah.
But there are bits, the moments where I look at her character, I think, this reminds me of Susan Meyer from Desperate Housewives.
Oh.
That kind of goofy, fumbly kind of character. Do you know what I mean? You've never watched Desperate Housewives.
I watched like 5 minutes of Desperate Housewives.
Like people out there that watch Desperate Housewives, I mean, tell me if you see that Susan Meyer connection, because I see it too.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, I think it could benefit with witty and better writing, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
About four or five episodes in. Who knows, Jada could go up. Mm-hmm. Can only go up, right?
There's a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure on her, you reckon?
I reckon there's a lot of pressure. Like, I would hate to be someone who's on a successful program and then, like, it ends and be like, well...
What are you going to do when this show ends, Jaden? You have to launch your solo radio show.
I don't even want to have to think about it, Dave. I can't even imagine not doing Different Strokes. It would be so weird.
It would be weird, but, you know, one day if this show ends, you might have to do your own Cougar Town.
I mean, I don't imagine that I'm going to be sitting here when I'm 45 and we'll still be doing Different Strokes, but it's just a, you know.
It's just a strange idea to think about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's enjoy our friends moment now.
Yeah.
At the height of our career.
Is this really as good as it gets?
Yeah.
Dave, this week I am covering an album that actually just came out last week. The album is called Broken Bells. It's by a group called Broken Bells. It's self-titled. Now, Broken Bells is actually Danger Mouse,
mm-hmm.
who you will probably famously know as one half of Gnarls Barkley.
Yes, I knew that from somewhere. Oh, my God, yes, yes, so, I knew that. Yes.
So Gnarls Barkley was Danger Mouse and a guy called CeeLo.
Yep, CeeLo, who also produces, but yeah, this is Danger Mouse.
Yeah, so, yep. And he's billed under his real name, which is Brian Burton, mm-hmm. for this project, and he's paired with James Mercer, who you may know, I don't know if you know, as the lead singer, you know, the front man of The Shins.
Oh, you know, you have too much faith in me. I don't know anything by The Shins.
We've played The Shins many times on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I remember it, okay? Okay, you want to play this game? Okay, all right, what's track two on Cheryl Cole's album?
I don't know, some.
Oh, you see, yeah. Mm.
So here's the thing, right? I, you know, I often come on here and, you know, talk about indie-related stuff. Mm. But the fact is I'd not heard about this until it was brought to my attention just this week. Mm. I didn't know this collaboration was going on, and apparently it's been in the works for quite some time, since like September last year. They'd been, you know, secretly recording and doing all kinds of
okay,
stuff
question.
Together.
Yes. Like, do indie artists feel the need to secretly record and stuff like that? Is it like a big deal?
I don't know.
I thought they'd be so used to, you know, all this cross-pollination.
I think there's
everyone from one band works with someone from another band.
I think sometimes, you know, it's like anything. They want to do like these surprising things or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
fair enough.
It was recorded late last year, but they sent out their first track in December. It's actually the first track off the album. It's called The High Road, and it was offered as a free download from the band from the website. But yeah, so I see the music snobs would absolutely hate me because I don't find out about things before they happen. I'm not, you know, surfing the blogs to see what's happening. I don't take.
In your defense, though, Jade, you do have a life, unlike myself, who scours the blog every single minute I'm on the internet.
I don't, you know, I really love music, but I don't live and breathe it. I really don't, and I'm not like, you know, purposely going to find absolutely everything that's going to happen about any band. I get their music, I listen to their music, I love listening to it.
So you
I love
take
going
it when it's
live.
Released,
exactly. Yep. I'm not interested in, and so. But when I did hear about it, I was like, not sure what to expect.
Do you know anything that Danger Mouse does?
I know Gnarls Barkley.
Okay, so that's your point of reference in your head.
So I found it a bit. So the album is quite. You know, it sounds kind of like a Shins album.
Oh,
with. This is going to sound so bad to say it this way, but it kind of sounds like someone, you know, when you go to restaurants and stuff and someone decides to play the electronic keyboard and they add all of those, you know, pre-programmed, you know, effects.
Okay, I don't know what restaurants you're going to, but the ones I go to don't have keyboards
I'm thinking of one in particular, but, you know, that's what it feels like. It feels like someone's just added on electronic keyboard sounds everywhere. It's not like.
Do you feel like it's been ad-libbed and it's not really part of the song? Oh, it was just thrown in?
It feels really disjointed to me.
Mm-hmm.
The indie kids are going to hate me, but I didn't feel it. I expected something a bit more ambitious. Like, when you think about, you know, I'm not really into Gnarls Barkley as such, like that
they're
style of music.
Pretty, yeah, they're known as pretty cutting edge,
yeah,
I guess.
But, like, to think about what came out of that versus this, it just seemed not really, like, I'm not really seeing the point of them getting together. Like,
but you are a Shins fan, am I correct?
Yeah, I am. I'm a big Shins fan.
So as a Shins fan, how do you feel about this collaboration?
I'm kind of disappointed. I really am. I'm not sure. Like, it feels like, why are we doing this?
Mm.
And it does have some interesting mixed reviews. So, you know, some are giving it like 9 out of 10 and like really high marks, and others are giving it sort of mid-range marks. Mm. So it's not, you know, setting the world on fire in terms of, it's only been a week. It's not, you know, huge. I mean, the 9th came out, March 9th, which, what's the date today?
It's it came out yesterday. Today's the 10th, isn't it?
Is it? Okay, so it only came out a week. It only came out yesterday then.
Yeah.
Maybe it came out like, it had previously been leaked late last year. So if you're
that type of person,
you would have already heard it, but I had not.
So look, Jade, I mean, surely there's some redeeming features about this album. Surely there's like at least one track that makes you go, okay, this collaboration's worth it.
I have a couple of tracks.
Oh, okay.
I have Vaporize, which is the track that we're going to play. I did like a track called October, and I also liked The Ghost Inside. Those are the three tracks that I'm kind of feeling right now.
Mm.
But, you know, I've listened to it through twice, the full album through twice. It may be one of those it grows on you type thing, but I'm just not, like, I wanted something bigger. I wanted something a bit more ambitious. It just didn't feel...
Maybe it's one of those albums that, like you say, it grows on you, so it's not meant to have that wow factor straight on. But, you know, when you're... Are you tempted as a fan of The Shins? Are you tempted to compare the work of The Shins with this one? I mean, is it easy to forget that you're listening to a, what's it called, a Broken Bells album?
Well, I think it is, but I think what the, I guess in a way, despite the fact that I'm more attached to The Shins, I actually wanted or expected more from Danger Mouse.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, you hear about, this producer who's like, you know, kind of hip-hoppy or whatever, he's involved, you expect something a bit different, like
you wanted to be able to see a hybrid.
Yeah, and it doesn't,
and it felt lopsided,
it feels lopsided. It feels like they're not gelling.
Should we have a listen to a track?
Yes,
because I'm after all this talking, I'm just like, okay, I want to listen to a track. So that was Broken Bells, Vaporize, taken from their self-titled debut.
It sounded very Shins to me.
Really? Yeah. As a Shins fan, you definitely saw that element in there.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying that you learned something very interesting about the way Gnarls Barkley makes music, you know, CeeLo and Danger Mouse.
Yeah, so I was reading, you know, in preparation for this, I was reading some articles about how, you know, Broken Bells came to be and how Danger Mouse actually collaborates. And he, in the article, they mention the fact that Gnarls Barkley was actually, CeeLo and Danger Mouse actually didn't record together. So they didn't actually, they weren't in the same place at the same time. They would send each other stuff and basically add to it. And, you know, it became kind of really hugely, I mean, Gnarls Barkley was huge.
Yeah, it became a working chemistry.
Yeah, whereas he's had another couple of collaborations. He worked with Beck on one of Beck's albums and this one. And he was, you know, those have both been recorded in his album, in his personal studio in LA, in person with the people that he was collaborating with.
Mm.
And so it was kind of suggested in this article that, you know, he probably works best with distance.
Okay, where he can actually have his own input in there and not be drowned out by the artists or the people he's collaborating with.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting, like, and it's an interesting idea to think, you know, even, you know, the way the world works now with, you can, you know, we can make an album with anyone in the world.
Yeah.
Effectively.
And just email each other the tracks and all
that. Exactly. And to think, you know, that distance could in fact be helpful in terms of making, you know, really interesting music.
It makes sense, Jade, because if you think about this as a working relationship, somebody spent hours laying down a part of the track at the other side of the country or the world, and you send it over, you're more hesitant to just delete all that work and do your own take on it. Do you know what I mean? Because somebody spent all that time working on it, and you just go, okay, there's that respect where I probably shouldn't delete all of this.
Mm.
I probably shouldn't say this is all crap because I'm just here to add my part. But if you're in the same studio, just speaking from experience, if you're in the same studio and you're hatching something together, it can be very frustrating because you both have ideas. You both want that idea to show right at that same second.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work that way.
I think,
and you go nowhere. It's true.
I think it's, you know, I'm a bit of an introvert, so I have a tendency to think this way anyway, but I kind of like the idea of just, like, when you're by yourself, just going nuts.
Mm.
And maybe that, you know, if there's someone else around, sometimes you feel a bit intimidated to do that.
It's funny that you said that, because when I first started writing songs, I used to, you know, the producer that I work with, he would just email me the tracks and I'll work on it and I'll bring it back to him. He's like, oh, okay, that's really good lyrics there, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, let's sit down and let's do it together here.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to email each other back and forth. And I just got, I cramped up.
Yeah.
When I had to write the first time, that it took like an hour to do a verse, an hour to do the other line. And it was just, it was taking me forever. And I was trying to figure out what was wrong. And obviously, it came down to the fact that I was nervous, because normally if I'm in my own bedroom, I just try everything.
Yeah.
I go nuts, like you said. You're in your own space. You're free to, you know, your walls go down and you just go nuts. Whereas when you're working with someone else in the same space, you know, it's like, oh, do they mind me just singing that all out of the blue? Do they mind me just trying that line?
Our one musical collaboration was done over email, Dave, and look how brilliantly that turned out.
I think we need a follow-up single to the Jade song.
It'd have to be, you know, because that was very much a moment in time, of course.
Yeah.
It'd have to be, you know, we'd have to find that reinvention.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's time that Jade did a comeback single with more of a hip-hop slant. We ring up Jay-Z. He can email in his vocals. We can have Jay-Z on the track with you.
Oh, okay. I get it. You can get a featuring.
Yep, featuring Jay-Z.
As long as he's willing to bounce his head around in the music video as well, you know, like the nod.
Yep, the head nod. Has to contribute the nod. And that, of course, can be filmed in his house.
Yeah.
And that can be emailed to us as well.
Yeah, and then we'll just kind of Photoshop me in somehow. And it'll be a lot of creative work there.
Creative collage.
Yeah.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. It's almost time for us to go, isn't it?
Oh, really?
I know. Is that time of the night already?
It feels so short.
Short. I know. Because what normally happens is we come in for an hour, have a good chat, and then, you know, we go home and then that's it. And you just go, oh, God, that was a great hour with Jade.
Yeah. I might remember it again.
Yep. Same time next week.
Yeah. Let's listen to the podcast.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.